Bibles this morning, want to turn with us over in Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter. I feel that the Lord has laid on our heart for this service, and what the Lord was sharing with me in the dream. I don't know if I share all the dream with you or if any today, but because I don't know the fullest of what the Lord was. I know it was a spiritual dream. When I woke up, I knew it was a spiritual dream. And Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter and verse number 24. Jesus is talking here and he says, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity that you have allowed us, the privilege to be able to be here. And I ask God this morning that we would all realize the privilege we have to be in a place like this today. God, where I know the truth is taught and preached and lived among most of these people here. And Father, I'm asking, Lord, this morning that you would touch our hearts. Help me, Lord, as a clay vessel to bring forth this word that the youngest to the eldest could understand. Father, let the anointing of the Holy Ghost speak through me today. Father, that it would go into the ears of the hearer and to the hearts of the believers. Father, that it would be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. False Christ is false messiahs. He's saying here, there shall arise in this time that he's talking, false messiahs, false anointed ones. And messiah means anointed one. They'll say that they're anointed. They'll say they're the messiah, the anointing one. They say that they're prophets of God and they'll be false. So how do you know whether they're false or not? You better know the truth yourself. If you don't know the truth, you'll believe a lie. Amen. That's why we right over here is a stack, 10 Strong's Concordance. You can look up scripture. It doesn't explain the Bible. It just tells you where scriptures are at. It's a powerful study tool. And if you don't have one, you need one. Man, they're $15. That's if you can find one cheaper somewhere else, don't buy it. Come back here and say, "Brother Dave, they got them cheaper down here. I'll give you one." Amen. But I'm telling you, it's not a profit thing in the church. We just get tools that people can learn on. Amen. But don't just get one and go with it. You see me after service and I'll hook you up. Amen. Because there's a CD that goes with it. Amen. But we need to study this word to know it. We see here in this Matthew's Gospel of the 24th chapter in verse number 3. It says, "As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" That's what people wants to know. Lord, tell us some signs that we can look to for the coming of the Lord, or when these things, when we see them happening, is it the end of the world? When is it going to be? And so the Lord begins to talk to him in verse 4. He says, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Now, when he says no man deceive you, he's also talking about yourself. Some people deceive their own self. They think that they're something when they're nothing. And they deceive their own selves. If your life does not line up with the book, you're not going. If we don't bear the image of the Savior, we're not going. Amen. He says, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." When a storm is brewing, it doesn't all of a sudden be sunshiny and then the next second it's black and it's pouring down rain and water's running down the road. No, no. You hear a distance of the sound of thunder and you see a lightning and you start to feel the breeze of a coming storm. Amen. And the Lord is saying here and He's warning us and He's giving us signs of a coming storm. And we see them all around us, but we close our eyes to it and we call it religion. Amen. Verse number 7, it says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." First of all, he said, there be famines in the land. You say, "Well, Brother David, we got plenty of food," but he's not really talking about food here as far as fleshly, though I'll touch that. But he is, as Amos says in the book of Amos in the 8th chapter, verse 11, he says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor to thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord." And my friend, we're in that day now. "They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it." Amen. Cannot find the true word. The true word of God today in this land is scarce, friends. It's scarce. There's too many tickling the ears and telling people things that they want to hear. Too many people with the little pencil backbone rather than the saw log backbone that would stand up and dare to preach the word of God and what thus saith the Lord. They're going sea to sea. They're going over here and over there and up here and down there. And they're looking everywhere. And they're just trying to find something that they could find that would just make them happy. That's why there's a lot of empty spaces in here. They're going to and fro this morning. If it wasn't, they'd be here this morning. But they're going to and fro. And they're searching for something. Boy, when they bite into it, they're not going to like it. Listen. It says famines. If you talk about the food chain, they have silently come through and have controlled it for this last day, that most all of our seed that you can buy today is hybrid seed. What is hybrid seed? You can't reproduce after it. In other words, you got to go to them and get the seed. Control factor. They got you, buddy. Used to, grandma and grandpa would put up the last part of the fruit on there, the okra. They would dry it out and get those seeds, and they would put them up and dry them out. And next year, they'd plant those seeds. But you can't do that anymore. They got you. Oh, well, we got our grocery stores. Well, they can just come and knock out the power grid. Boom. Then all that is gone. I wonder if that were to happen, my friend, how long it would take before the rioting in the streets would take place, because they say, "I don't have none and you got some and I'm going to get yours." Michael Jordan's dad was killed in, I think it was up a part of South Carolina, but he was driving a Lexus car and he pulled into a place there, and these young guys saw it and they was like animals. And they said, "You know, we would like to have that car there. And all we got to do is just remove him and the car is ours." So they killed him. They talked with one of the guys that did it, and that's what he said. He said, "We was under the knowledge or the understanding that if we removed him, the car belongs to us." That's animals. Animals do that. Kill him and that piece of meat is mine. And that's what society is today. And the church sits back and says, "Oh no, everything's going good." No, it's not. It's in the church. Now, Dave, you preach like you're mad. I am. At the devil. Huh? There's pestilences of this last day. What is it? thus plagues and disease. Y'all heard of HIV AIDS and SARS and the swine? Oh, they dressed it up for the Muslim, H1N1. That Mercer, you go to the hospital, you can't hardly touch nothing. Come on, it gets in you, boy. I mean, it's just the disease is, they say back, this is, 15, 20 years ago, said the diseases are advancing quicker than we can come up with antibiotics for it. In fact, in the 50s and the 60s, STD, sexually transmitted diseases, there was only like two known to man. Today, there are about 60. Why? Because people's lifestyles away from God. And the further you get away from God, the more diseases come. And the church has got away from God. And so the devil has come in to steal, kill, and destroy. To be earthquakes, he said, that means commotion. Not only the physical earthquakes that we hear all over, but what about the terrorists? Don't they quake us? Come on. Don't they, come on, cause a commotion? A commotion means to and fro also. People's faith in the last day is like an earthquake. It's going to and fro. One day they believe God, one day they don't. One day they praise the God, one day they're out sitting. They're back and forth, to and fro. They don't know what they believe and who they believe. Look at it spiritually. It's what the Lord is talking. He said in Daniel in the 12th chapter, he said, but thou, closing of the book, he said, oh, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. We're living in the end times. Why? Because knowledge is so increased. Did you know for 6,000 years men walked everywhere they went to? Or rode a camel or horse? Come on. But this last, century, 100 years or so, man has come up with automobiles and airplanes and computers and electricity. And I mean, just name it and go on and 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 on of the inventions. Is man smarter today than all those that walked everywhere they went? No. What happened is God, because of the last days, he needed the technology for Antichrist. So he reached down and he turned up knowledge. It's not that Thomas Edison was smarter than anybody else, but he lived in a day that God needed electricity and he turned it up. It was prophesied thousands of years before. We're not smarter, I think we're dumber than other generations. But he said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We're living in a fool generation. Glory. Ephesians 4:11, he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. But my question to you is, where today are all the teachers and preachers and pastors and evangelists? Where are the ones that'll stand? Where's the Paul's at? Where's the John's at? Come on. Where's the Isaiah's? Where's the Jeremiah's and the Elijah's? Where are they at? Where's the Nathan's at? Who are you talking about, Nathan? Nathan, the man that went before King David and said, thou art the man. You said it, boy. Where's the Nathan's that will stand before great men and say, hey, you're wrong. Before the president and politicians and said, you're wrong. Before the preachers and said, you're wrong. Where are they at? Where are they at? Maybe it's in one of you young ones. Maybe it's in one of you. God is stiffening that backbone that one day that you'll stand before great men and you'll preach to them. You'll cause them to repent. Where are they at? Thank you. Why do we need all that, Brother David? For the perfecting of the saints, verse 12. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, what? Tossed to and fro. Would God be that we would all get some standing and realize who we are and quit going up and down, in and out, but realize that we are the blood-bought saints of the Most High and we have a responsibility to the world to be a standard. Amen. Make up your mind if you're going to serve God. That's what they said in the meeting I was in. One of the fellers got up and he started talking about Elijah. And there on Mount, when he went to Israel there at Mount Carmel, and he says, "Choose ye this day. If Baal be God, serve him. But if God be God, serve him." It's time in America we need to say, "Hey, if God is God, let's repent and let's serve God. But if Baal, then serve Baal." Come on, I believe it's time in the church. If God be God, let the church serve God. Let Him put Him first and foremost in our life. Then God has to be Lord of our lives. But if He's not, get back out in the street and live like hell, because that's where you're going. Amen. Glory to my God. He says, "You don't need to be tossed to and fro and carried about whatever wind of doctrine and slide of man by the slide of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Amen? But we need to have a backbone to stand up for righteousness. That's what we need. That's what we got to have. He said in Matthew 24:8, Jesus did. Carry on in here. If you have your Bibles open to 24 chapter of Matthew, I'm going to read some more in here. He said, "All these are beginning of sorrows." These are just the clouds forming at a distance. These are just a little breeze you're feeling. Oh, you think it's bad now. You just hang around. If you don't get caught up in the rapture, you hang around, you'll find out what bad is. Amen. I'll touch a little bit of it in a minute. He says, "All these are beginning of sorrows." These that you're seeing here, these I'm talking about, it's the beginning. At this point, it's where the rapture of the church takes place. We see the beginning of all these sorrows, the rapture of the church takes place. Those of you taking notes, 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, "We've not been appointed unto wrath." We, children of God, the saints of God, we've not been appointed to wrath. I'm going to be raptured out of here before Antichrist comes on the scene. Amen? I don't know about you, but I am. Amen? Got my ticket purchased. Revelation 3:10, he said, "You've kept the word of my patience. I'll keep you from the hour of temptation that shall come upon whole earth." Listen. Revelation, the 4th chapter, read it, verse 1 and 2. It talks about John there, and he says that I heard a voice saying, "Come up hither," and immediately I was in the Spirit. After that, you don't hear the church talked about anymore. It's gone, my friend. "Oh, well, I'll just wait till after rapture and get saved." Brother David ain't going to be here. And there'll be some guy up here saying, "Well, let me tell you that homosexual is okay. And you can just live any kind of way you want to." Come on. I'm not going to be here. Children, look at your mom and daddy. You know how they live at home. If they live it right, they ain't going to be here. If they're not, don't worry. They'll be here with you. Glory. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 said, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." And verse 8, "And then shall that wicked one be revealed." Church got to be gone before Antichrist had come out. Amen. Well, what is all this other? It's the tribulation. Do you understand what the tribulation's for? The tribulation is God turns His attention away from America, away from everywhere else, all the Gentiles, and He turns His attention to the Jew for Abraham's sake. And the tribulation is to turn Israel back to God. That's all it is, to turn them to Christ. That's the tribulation. That's what it's about. Now is the Gentile time. Now is the time for us to get right with God and be raptured up. Amen. Then it says, go down to verse 11. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, The love of many shall wax cold. Now get it, get it. You know, it said, what did he say? He says, where sin abound, grace does much more abound. Is a scripture. But look at here. It says iniquity is going to abound. I ain't wanting to be here. I don't know about you. And the love of many shall wax cold. Amen. That's what he's telling us, what he said to us. Verse 15. He says, when you can read the in between when you get home. But listen, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judah flee into the mountains. That's where he goes on. He talks about, hey, pray that your flight don't be in the winter. In other words, it'll be hard to travel. You need to get out of there quick. When you see Antichrist stand up in the synagogue, and Daniel said the abomination of desolation, he said, I am God, you will worship me, you will take my mark, or I will take your head. Now, 3.5 years has been since the rapture of the church, and it's peace, it's hunky-dory, everything going good. Israel signs a covenant with him, and everything's going good. But in the middle of the week, when he knows he's got them, he controls their food, he controls their money, he controls their lives, their very lives. Nothing is done except coming through him, because they've given it over to the government, amen? And the government now controls everything. And he says, you will serve me, because I am God. And then some Jew says, I will not worship no Antichrist. Daddy, I'm hungry. Daddy, I'm starving. My belly's so hungry. Oh, give me that mark. I need some food for my baby. Verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, Abraham, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I'm telling you, the storm clouds is around, and there's so many people in the pulpits that is so deceived. Amen. There's so many people in the church pews. I see them. They was talking about the pastors that we need to be an example before the people. Amen. One guy got up and he spoke and he says, the pastors needs to have an example. You need to pay your bills on time. You need to live right. You need to walk right. You need to have a great testimony among people. Amen. He got me one time. He said, your car needs to be cleaned out on the inside. Well, mine ain't. But you get in it. He said, you can't even get in the back seat. You get in my back seat. It's just dirty. Listen. He said, you need to love your wife. Come on. Come on. Wives need to love their husband. You need to be an example. You love your children. Amen. And raise them right. Come on. That the church needs to be an example. The pastors lead it off and teach the others to be that an example. Pay your bills on time. Put something in savings. Amen. Come on. Live right before men, before this world, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. He's talking about morality and rightness. We leave there and went up to the room and I changed clothes. I was carrying one of my suits down, put in the car, so I get the other one, and I wouldn't have so much to carry out the next day. And I run down right quick and jump on the elevator the door, I went down a flight or two and the door opened up and this couple came on that was in there, and there she was, crack in the front. I mean, way down, headed to the pool. Exposure. I should have said, exposure. I was just so shocked. I didn't know what. It just floored me. I was speechless. A preacher's wife. A preacher's. A so-called preacher's wife. It's crazy, man. You say, well, Brother Dave, how close are we to the end? How many would like to know how close we are to the end? I mean, you know. I know that there's no way this morning I can tell you the exact moment. Because no man knows that. Jesus don't even know himself. But I believe he's looking at the Father. And he said, go get him. How close are we to the end, Brother Dave? Well, I've already told you about what's going to be in the end. The famines and the pestilence and earthquakes. Well, how close are we to the end, Brother Dave? And who is this Antichrist dude? How many would like to know that? Well, I can't tell you exactly. But I can point you in the direction of it. Huh? I can do like horseshoes. I can get close. Amen. Listen to it. Over the book of Daniel. Daniel coincides with Revelation. Just about the whole book. And Daniel, in the time of Nebuchadnezzar the king. And the king has had this dream. And he's called his fellows to interpret dreams. And he says, hey, tell me my dream. They said, well, you know, tell us what it was. They said, well, no. I want you to tell me what it was. And then I know you know when you tell me the interpretation of it. And they couldn't. So Daniel came in. He told him his dream. He said, you've seen this image. This great image stand before you. Should have put it on overhead. Had a head of gold and had the breast and arms of silver. And had the stomach and the thighs of brass. Had the legs of iron, the feet iron and clay. That's right. What does that mean? You described it to a T. What does it mean? He said, thou art the head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar. Now look up when Daniel was written, the book. I mean, long, 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 long time ago. Okay? Before, I mean, it was written here when Nebuchadnezzar was still king. The head was still there. None of these others are even known about. Probably not even born yet. And he said, thou art this head of gold. And said, after thee, it'll be another kingdom. And it won't be as great as your kingdom. It'll be inferior because silver is inferior to gold. And the two arms is the Medo-Persian Empire. Under the Medes, Darius the king and Persia, Cyrus. Cyrus was a stronger king, greater kingdom than the Mede. That'll come into play just a moment. And after that kingdom falls, there'll be another kingdom. And it's the Grecian kingdom under Alexander the Great. Brass. Swift. Shiny. Fighting. Alexander the Great. How many studied him when you was in school? Y'all remember them? Daniel wrote about him before he was ever born. After that shall come another kingdom of iron, representing the Roman Empire. Rome with the big chariots and the things they swing iron. You know, there's an iron suits. You know, the Roman Empire. Along with the Roman Empire is the toes and feet of clay and iron, partly clay, partly iron. Represents nations, some strong, some weak. Now look at the image today. Nebuchadnezzar's gone. King Darius, King Cyrus is gone. The Medo-Persian, Alexander the Great is dead. The Roman Empire has failed. And we're down to the feet and toes. We're to the end, man. I mean, he describes the end of days. All the way to the end of days. And he even talks about the kingdom of the Lord coming after these down here. It's the next one. And we're at the end. It's just the feet and toes is all that's left. We're at the end. Everybody say, we're at the end. Amen. But I got some hope. Listen. Let me read you some hope here. It's kind of parenthetical. I'm going to put it right in here because I want to offer you hope. Daniel 2 and 34, it says, "Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands." Talking about Jesus. "Which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. Then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold broken in pieces together, and became as chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, and that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Woo. That's hope this morning. I'm going to be in that kingdom. Amen. I'm going to be in that kingdom. Then we go to Daniel in the 7th chapter. And all the way through, what it's doing is it is showing these kingdoms. And it repeats itself with these kingdoms. But in each one, it starts showing you a little bit more information till we get over to the end. And it's pointing toward Antichrist. And in the 7th chapter, he's talking about four beasts. He describes four beasts. I'm not going to read it. You just read it when you get home. I'm going to tell you about them. The first beast is a lion that had eagle's wings. The greatness of the eagle and the greatness of the lion, which represented Nebuchadnezzar. Had great teeth. The second kingdom is the bear. And this bear was raised up on one side when it stood up. And it had three ribs in its mouth. And reason it said it raised up on one side is because I told you a while ago that Cyrus the Persian was a greater kingdom than of the Mede and Darius. He was greater. See, it's a Medo-Persian empire. But the one was greater than the other. And the three ribs in its mouth was the conquest that they had with Babylon and Libya and Egypt. Read, do your history in there, amen? And then when it fell, there was another kingdom, and it's represented by the leopard, which had four wings for swiftness of the swiftness of Alexander the Great. No one, no other conqueror has been so swift to conquer so much and died such a young age. Alexander the Great, that's why they call him the Great. He was so swift. Had four heads. It represents the four kingdoms, the nations that rises. When he falls, his kingdom becomes so great, it takes, they have to divide it into four groups. It's so great. And then the last beast that's described in the 7th chapter of Daniel is a dreadful beast. They couldn't even, it was so dreadful, you couldn't even describe it. It had teeth of iron. It was diverse from all the rest, and it had 10 horns. And out of those 10 horns comes a little horn. Amen. See, you're getting closer. Now you're getting to this little horn. How many has ever heard 10 horns and little horn? And you've been around church a while. You hear somebody talk about it. Amen. I was going to read a scripture here, but I'm going to jump over it. Daniel, read it when you get home. Daniel 7, 9 through 11. It's talking about Christ coming and the judgment. But I want to go into verse 24. It says, is that where I want to go? Where am I at? Let me catch up here too. Okay. Daniel 7, 24. "And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise up after them." Now he's talking about the image here, the same thing as the feet and the 10 toes is this dreadful beast of this last kingdom that'll have 10 horns and one little horn come out of it. Okay, it's the same kingdom he's describing here. And he says it's diverse from all the rest. It's going to be a time that's never been upon this earth. And so he says, "And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. When he stands up, 3 of them immediately will fall, of the 10 will fall when he stands up into power. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws." That sounds like the church today, don't it? It's already a spirit of Antichrist. They're thinking to change times and laws. Things that the church is founded on in the book of Acts. And generation after generation has studied it and kept pure. In this last generation, they want to change times and laws. Call all that legalism. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and divided in time. 3.5 years. Amen. Are you with me? Hold on. Let's go to Daniel 8, verse 3. I'm going to read this one to you. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had 2 horns. And the 2 horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. Darius was first of the Mede. Cyrus came up, and a greater. That's what he's talking about, the Medo-Persian Empire. That's what verse 4. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. It's describing his swiftness of Alexander the Great. He's the he-goat. And he's traveling fast. And he's conquering fast. And he comes and he hits this, boom, this ram. It says, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. That's Alexander the Great. And he came to the ram that had 2 horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close to the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram and brake his 2 horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat, Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire, waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up 4 notable ones toward the 4 winds of heaven. In other words, when Alexander the Great and the Grecian Empire fell, his kingdom was so great it took 4 nations, 4 countries. It was divided in 4 countries. Listen. Verse 9. And out of one of them. See, we started with 10. And that little horn came with the 10. Came from the 10, right? That little horn, Antichrist. And now we're down to 4. And out of this 4, Antichrist is going to come out of one of them. Hold it. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward us. How do we know? Because history tells us what nations was formed when Alexander fell. Daniel didn't know all this. He's prophesying this. Which waxed great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. We're down to 4, and that little horn's going to come from one of these 4. What are they, Brother David? Well, today we know them as Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt. That's where we know the territory at now today is Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt. From one of them comes the little horn. I believe Obama's Antichrist. No. Greece, Turkey, Syria. Now, he has to just be one of these nationalities. He could be somewhere else, but this is where he comes from. Amen. Let's go to Daniel 11th chapter now. Listen. We're getting closer. We're going to narrow it down to from 4 to 1. How many wants to do that? Amen. Are y'all with me? I know it's boring to you, but listen. Are you with me? Okay. Daniel 11th chapter, verse 36. I don't have time to go through all of it, but I'm just kind of hitting. And the king shall do, this is the little horn, according to his will. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that that is determined shall be done. In other words, what's prophesied. Verse 37. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Now, I used to think that he's going to be a homosexual. But I don't know. Because I know the Muslims treat women like dogs. Amen? I believe he's going to be a Muslim. Now, this is just, I'm just going by what I'm seeing here in all this. They treat women like dogs. And did you know that they are wanting Sharia law in America? And did you know that they have just put some people on the Supreme Court that says Sharia law might not be such a bad idea in America? Do you know this stuff is going on? Do you know it? What's Sharia law? That's where, you know, it's like the Old Testament. You can get caught stealing, cut your hand off. You get caught in adultery, they stone you. Women, I don't know what they do with the men. They bury you up to your neck and throw stones at you and kill you. It's been in the news. Y'all seen some of it over there? That's Sharia law. Sharia law is a woman is like a dog. You have no rights, women. You walk behind me everywhere I go. You're a dog. Don't your dog follow you around? And the women out there, oh, we want these liberals. We vote for these liberals. Go ahead. They kill homosexuals. Jesus loves them and is concerned for their soul. Come on. Nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. They don't regard life. They don't God represents, God is life. They don't regard life. Verse number 40. And at the time of the end, the king of the south shall push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. Now, throughout the whole Bible, God has used two nations to bring judgment on Israel. Throughout the whole Bible. Study it out. Who was it that had Israelites in the time of Moses? Who was it? Egypt. Egypt is to the south of Israel, Jerusalem. Everything is in the Bible when they say north or south, it's talking about of Jerusalem. God, that is God's point on earth. Amen? That's his point. And he goes from there. And so the king of the south, the time of the end, going to rise up, think he's going to be the man. Egypt. And he's going to press forward and push at the king of the north. And the king of the north, who is north of Syria? Syria is north. God has always used Syria or Assyrians or the Egyptians to bring judgment on Israel. Squeeze them. Always. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overthrow and pass over, and he shall enter into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief children of Ammon. Now I read that last scripture for this. Some people say that the tribulation or Antichrist's rule will be worldwide. I don't believe it will. I believe the tribulation will be worldwide, but not Antichrist's rule. Oh, so we in America got it made. No, let me tell you. I wouldn't want to be here. You've seen some of these movies of future time, and when people was having to hide and cars are burning in the street and so much chaos and they're ducking. I believe that's exactly what it'll be like in America. I mean, Hurricane Katrina come through in New Orleans, just a little bitty hurricane, and look at the chaos in New Orleans. It's crazy. People are crazy. If countries right under his control escape out of his hand, you know, I didn't tell you what the tribulation is about. It's about turning God, Israel back to God. Now's the time for you to get saved and right with God. Quit playing. Get serious with God. Make up your mind. Am I going to serve him or not? Am I going to serve him? My God, get in there with all you got, with everything you got, with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, with everything, because we're at the end of this thing. But if you're not, quit playing. Get on out. Get out, get out. He said, Brother David, you'll have more empty spaces. That's all right. Get out. I don't want to be feeling bad when I'm going up in the air and look over and you're not there. After sitting looking at me up here sweating, preaching, hollering, hooping, jumping, everything I do. I wish I'd kept up with the times I've studied this book right here. And then somebody come along and say, Brother David, you don't know what you're talking about. I might not know what I'm talking about, but just leave me alone. Let me just stay dumb. I know I'm not near as smart as a lot of preachers. I'm not saying that. I meant that. There's a lot of wonderful, knowledge men of God in the pulpits that's preaching. I wish to... you know, had some of that knowledge, understanding. But what I do know, I do know. Amen? What I do know, I do know. I'm almost finished. You see, in the ninth chapter, between the ninth chapter of Daniel, those come to Christmas, Daniel... he said 70 weeks are determined. If you're taking notes, 9:24 starts there. Goes to the end. 27, something like that. He said 70 weeks are determined upon my people. Judgment of 70 weeks is determined upon Israel. That was his people, Israel, the Jew. And what he's talking about in that is 70 weeks is 77 year periods. Okay? From the time that of the Nehemiah received the commandment to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem until the cutting off of the Messiah, Jesus dying on the cross, will be 69 weeks or 483 years. 69 times 70 is 483. Figure it up, do your history. Amen? 483 years, and this judgment clock stops. Boom. And the grace clock starts. And it's like a train pulling up, and preachers came off. For the first time, preachers got introduced to the world, and teachers, and evangelists, and prophets. Amen. So here they are, and we're preaching the gospel in this grace period. Grace. In other words, you can live like you want to now. But just remember, at the end of this grace period, you're going to be judged by how you're living. Oh, you might be doing fine now, getting along good, clicking along. But one of these days, these old preachers are going to climb back on that train. You see that old engineer is up there called Jesus, and he's saying, I can hear that thing humming. And one of these days, he's going to hear that. Whoop, whoop. Come up hither, and we're going to get on this old train, buddy, and it's going to take off. And when it does, the last week of Daniel's prophecy in the ninth chapter starts ticking. The last 7 years will start ticking. And there'll be peace.
in the valley of Armageddon for the Jews. I mean, everything will be good for 3.5 years. He'll Antichrist will have all the words. He'll be a smooth talker. They'll sign a covenant with him. They've been trying to sign peace treaties over there in Israel-Palestine for how many years now? Carter tried it. Reagan tried it. Bush tried it. Clinton tried it. The Obamas tried it. I mean, before that, Nixon tried it. Oh, but when Antichrist comes on the scene, it's going to work. It's going to take. And they'll sign up. And it'll go good for 3.5 years. Until he gets rooted in all their lives and everything, so, you know. A government big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take everything you have. And when he gets everything in place, I am God and you'll serve me. He said, you better run for the rocks. They got a place over there in Israel called Petra. How many of you ever heard of Petra? I got a picture of it. I'm not there, but it's a city in the rocks. It's prepared, it's what scholars say, it's prepared there for that day when Israel, some of the Jews, can go and hide. That's why they say we pray that the rocks fall on us, all this. I don't want to be here, God, do you? That's why I got my ticket, ain't you? Woo, praise God. The last week, the last 7 years, all others been fulfilled. It's just now, it's sitting ready. The rapture could take place before we get out this morning. There's no other prophecy in the Word of God to be fulfilled. None. The next thing on the agenda is the rapture of the church. He said, Brother David, I've been hearing about the rapture church ever since I was a little bitty boy. Well, he said, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Time doesn't matter with God. What matters with God if we're ready to go? Amen. You say, well, remember what I said. Daniel 7, 8, 9, it says when Alexander the Great fell, right? It said, out of one of these came the little horn. He's out of either Greece, Turkey, Syria, or Egypt. Now, that's four. Now we've narrowed it to two. The king of the north, the king of the south, Syria and Egypt. And then Isaiah, the 10th chapter in verse 5, he said, O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff of their hand is my indignation. You can read on when you get home, but it's also talking about the Assyrian that was in that time, but he's talking about the Assyrian in the last days. My friend, Syria is Muslim. It's Muslims. There may be some good people that's Muslims. I have no idea. But I all I know is what I've seen and heard out of so many of them. And where there's smoke, there's fire, my friend. And we can stroke their image, ego, and allow them to do things. I mean, your tax dollar right now is being spent to build mosques. Do you understand what your government is doing? It is being spent to build mosques all around the world and remodeling mosques. Do you understand? Am I right, Brother Terry? That's right, isn't it? Brother Terry stays up on all this stuff right here. We got a table up there. I want to ask you this question right here. You go ahead and stop the CD if you would like.